This morning's session is, and I'm not sure who gave it that name, it might have been me many months back, but it's obviously too long of a name. But in this session, you would hopefully learn how to establish a successful project and portfolio management practice within your organization. And we wanted you to learn it firsthand from our customers and one of our partners. Instead of us, Microsoft, you know, just telling you that this is where you need to be heading. My name is Yuval Stern. I'm on the product group here at Microsoft, and I spent a good chunk of my career leading PPM implementations myself. And we have here today our excellent speakers. So we have Bill Ellers from AGL Australia. He will speak Australian with you today. We have Keith Rigani from Stryker. Both are leading their PPM implementations for their respective orgs. And we have Rob Hirschman today, one of our partners, PPM partners, leading partners worldwide. So excellent speakers, you'll soon know. Just before we start rolling, I just want to point you to three more sessions we have tomorrow on PPM in which you'll see things like reporting, how to customize the system and so forth. And I also encourage you, if you haven't done so thus far, to swing by our booth at the expo hall. So that's the office productivity, and there's a project stand right there. And that's a great opportunity to talk with our expert and also to experience the system itself. So I really encourage you to do that. So just before I hand it over to Bill, who's our first speaker, I want to give my 2 cents. And what I want to share with you is kind of simple, yet I think profound, when you're thinking about PPM implementations. So someone has made a study, actually Forrester made a study that's just to be full transparent, was commissioned by Microsoft. But this study was done among some of our PPM customers that have made a decision to use Project Online. And the study gives the economics of those implementations. So I think the results are really good, you know, 300% ROI and 7 months to, you know, return your investment. So those are great news for those of you who are considering PPM. And that may get you, you know, to get the green light from the decision makers, whether it's you or others in your orgs, you know, to kick off an initiative like that. And that's great. But what you really want to do or want to know is where exactly you're heading. And we have a selection of very exotic destinations for you with PPM. And I'm talking about the benefits you can actually get from a PPM implementation. So four you know, very substantial destinations that any company would appreciate. And the first one would be excellence in project and program management, very straightforward. You want to, you know, take a look inside or put a mirror in front of yourself and your organizations and ask yourself, hey, is there a problem around the basics of project management? Maybe we have, you know, 30 different methods of managing projects. Maybe we have, you know, 40 different tools. Maybe we don't have the rigor, you know, and the discipline or not the knowledge of how to really plan and drive a project, you know, by the project managers. So if this is our problem, this should be, you know, a selected destination for us. Second very common problem that, you know, many customers struggle with and use PPM to solve is around resource management. You know, resources are obviously the most important asset we have. In many cases, we have constrained resources. In many cases, we don't have sufficient visibility into those resources and how to really utilize them, you know, fully for our projects. And that's a very, very legitimate problem, and this is definitely one of the destinations you may consider when you're embarking on that journey. The third one is more strategic and, you know, high level, but it's very important today to make sure that your projects are actually aligned with your business drivers and the business strategy, and also that your organization is agile, being able to nimbly shift, you know, as change arises. And that's a very, you know, common thing today. You know, our competitors, you know, launch a new product, you know, the business changes, we need to really respond very quickly. You're all familiar with, you know, too many examples of companies that were very slow in that reaction. So that's a very another very important destination that you can consider. And lastly, and the conference board, it's a board of another conference, not Ignite, but that's just another opinion that if there's one thing you want to focus on, that would be productivity in order to be competitive and be profitable. So productivity is definitely another destination you may want to consider. And it's not this or that. It definitely can be the combination. So this is a very important step one that you need to do. And just to make it easy for you, when you think about Project Online actually provides four key usage scenarios that show kind of perfect parity with those business benefits. So project management, the very core and basic one, would equip you with the way to effectively plan your project, track the project, and do reporting against your project just to make sure that you are effectively managing your project. We have, for the resource management, ways to really request resources, assign resources, visibility across all the resources in the org to make sure that the right resources are working on the right or the most strategic projects. And also different ways to analyze, and make sure that you are efficiently using the resources. 14% improvement in resource utilization, it's huge, especially if you're doing that for the most important and the bottleneck resources within your org. For the third benefit, we have the portfolio management usage scenario, which covers multiple things. One of them would be alignment of your project upfront with your strategy. So we provide a module that allows you to set up your business goals and then make sure that the portfolio of projects you're about to execute is perfectly aligned with that strategy and allows you to do what-if analysis, what if we do these projects versus those projects and what would be the most beneficial thing to do under our constraints, whether those are, funding constraints, resource constraints, and so on. And lastly, being built on Office 365 and our broader cloud platform, our PPM solution offers a very, multiple ways to really be productive while managing your projects. And it's beyond just project governance, because if you're working on Office 365 and your organization already made the conscious decision to move to Office 365, so Microsoft PPM or Project Online would just be another scenario. And show me one project that doesn't have meetings, have emails, documents, or Skype, meetings. So moving from just governance of projects into the actual execution of projects would be a very valuable scenario that we offer with our tool. So with that, just make sure you're setting up your GPS, toward the right direction, and then you'd gain those 300%, ROI, or maybe better. And I would like to hand it over to Bill to share his experience and story of AGL. So the stage is yours.
Beautiful. Thanks. Are we wired for sound? Cool. I hope you guys don't mind, but I really don't like standing up on stages. It just doesn't work for me. I'm an itinerant wanderer, so I thought I'll just amble up and down in front of the stage and have a chat with you guys more than anything else. Really interesting. One of the points Yuval made, he was talking about strategy. And this morning I was actually chatting to a guy before the session, and one of the chats we were having was around what's the actual point of what we're doing? As project managers, as a project professional, what's the point of what we're doing? And it's so amazing, so many people get caught up in on time, on schedule delivery, on cost delivery. And quite often we miss the most important part, and that's delivering strategic value to our businesses. And we need a mechanism that we can do that we can report the strategic value we're delivering. And Project Online gives you that. You can build a portfolio and you can get it to analyze it for you, and you can get it to tell you what the strategic value of that portfolio is per project. And then you can report that. Which is really cool. Look at this, I'm too far away. Ah, there we go. To give you a bit of background from where I'm from, I work for a company called AGL, Australian Gaslight. We're an integrated energy company. We retail energy. We have generation capacity as well. Largest owner and operator of renewables, something the organisation is really proud of. and we've got more than 3.7 million customers in Australia. Project Online, we were one of the early adopters. We were the actual, I believe, watch me get proven wrong here, I believe we were the first organisation of any size in Australia to go live with Project Online, and did that in August 2014. Implementation in 3 months, by the way, just for the people that are interested. 3 months from approval, selecting a partner, into production. Started out, we estimated we'd have 250 users and we'd have one instance. We now have three and we have over 800 users. To quote Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. You show people what this thing can do, they'll jump on board. Yeah, we started out, our first instance, just look after corporate projects, corporate projects with an IT component. We rolled it out. Worked for us, worked really well. We have an energy services company who actually deliver energy efficiency products to customers. They saw it and jumped all over it. They wanted their own instance. That was the second one. And then the third one was our generators, who wanted some way to track carbon reduction projects. Three instances, probably in the space of about a year. The one thing that we've got, and everyone can do it, it's pretty cool. We're integrated with Power BI. I mean, it does it seamlessly, but don't underestimate how good it is. You know, the ability to not just produce status reports, anyone can produce a status report, but to produce visualizations and to produce them in near real time and then be able to show it to people. And the bounds of what you can do is your imagination. And people probably lose sight of that. You know, I need a stock standard portfolio report. You know, I need a status report, and they're good. But it's the ability to do far more than that that people probably tend to lose sight of. You know, the ability, with Power BI, the ability to respond to ad hoc queries. Don't underestimate it. You know, I had an executive come to us at one point, and all he wanted, really simple request, give me a list of every project this year that has budget and where it's at. Before we were a Project Online customer, that would have taken me about 3 days. With Power BI, it took me about 3 minutes. You'd get no kudos from your executive for it because he's got quite reasonably an expectation that that's easy to do. But in the past, it wasn't. And the project portfolio, just to give you a little bit of scope, we probably have, in the part I look after, probably 20 to 30 active projects at any point in time. We'll probably deliver 100 across a year. Could be anywhere from 500K to sort of $5, $10 million projects. And we manage projects. We have a thing called an initiative concept, really just an idea, a way to trap that, all the way through benefits tracking. We have no accountability for benefits realisation. That lies back with the business units, but we have to give them a mechanism to track the benefits they stated they would claim. Nope, we've got it wrong again. There we go. If you're going to go down this path, you've got to understand why. You know, a road with no destination is always long. If you don't know where you're going, guarantee it's going to be a really long, really hard journey. By the way, folks, just so you understand, I'm more than happy to take questions at any point. All right, if you want to ask me a question, there's microphones around the room. Jump up, fire away. Rather than just listen to me talk to you for 20, 30 minutes, if you've got questions, please ask them. More than happy to answer them. But you've got to understand what the problem is that you're trying to solve. If you don't know that, you're really going to struggle with an implementation. Because there's so many different things you could want to do. You know, do you want to optimise your operations? Do you want to be able to actually pay your organisation an efficiency dividend from your PMO? And if you're going to pay an efficiency dividend, you better understand what it is. And you better understand how you're going to deliver it. Are we going to do more with the same? Or are we going to do the same with less? But you've got to understand it. Because you've got to be able to sell your management on it. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. These are the things we hope to get out of it. Do you want to go from transactional to transformational? Do you want to just... And what I mean by that is simply, do you want to rejig the way you do projects? Do you want to use the tool to drive some change in your organisation? Because you can do that. You've got to understand what you're doing. You've got to understand why you're doing it. And you've got to understand the pain set that's going to come with it because you're going to change the way people do things. But you can do that. It's a perfectly valid thing to want to do. Do you want to... Sorry, can I just ask you to jump up to the microphones because they are actually recording this, so it just makes it a little bit hard if we don't... Congratulations, by the way, on being the first question asked.
Hello. Okay. So you're talking about knowing your problem that you're trying to solve. What if it sort of changes and you sort of mature along the way? Are you able to sort of adjust it and tweak it as you learn more?
You should. Hopefully you will change along the way. Yeah, one of the things, it's probably on the next slide, but let's cut to the chase anyway. One of the things you've got to build with this is a roadmap. You know, Microsoft themselves have a product roadmap. You as an organization have to have a roadmap for your project office. What are we going to do and how are we going to go about doing it? What changes are we going to make? How are we going to make life better? And how are we going to roll this out? To take you through how we did it, we just did a very vanilla outline or very implementation. We had some very simple workflows for our projects. That was the initial rollout. What we've done after that is automate a lot more of those processes. So the things that we used to do manually, we've now automated, but we've done it in stages as it's made sense and as we've got funding to do it. But things should evolve. That's almost the point of going down this path, is your ability to respond to that, because things will change. You know, we went from being a pure waterfall-based project group to a hybrid group. We've got a lot of agile projects there. Well, guess what? We need to cater to that. We had to change the way we did things because the way the organisation wanted to do things changed. You've got to be onto that. And you want to change your delivery culture. I'm sure organisations have struggled this. We did. Project managers used to have the ability to determine the status of their own project and tell you what it was. And there might be some science in it. There might be some art in it. They might examine the entrails. They might pray to their God. I don't know. I don't know how they did it. But you never had any consistency. All you had was, if you had 30 active projects, you had 30 opinions on where 30 projects were at. And one of the things we did when we rolled it out was we took the ability for them to determine the status of their project off them. And that started a whole series of discussions with project managers around my project's green, and the response being, but the computer says red. And when you go down this path, you've got a single source of truth. Every project is assessed in the same way. You have a level of consistency you didn't have before. It doesn't matter if I want to examine the entrails or not. You're telling them what their status is. 99 times out of 100, it's go back and do the things that as a project manager you should already have done. But make sure that you do them. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. What did we want to get out of it? The single source of truth. Don't ever underestimate that. When you can put your hand on your heart and go, whatever you want to know about projects is in one place. It's important. You take away the ability to go opinion shopping and you turn all your discussion into a fact-based argument. You can't turn around and go, I'm just going to ask 10 guys until I get the answer I want, because all 10 guys are going back to the same source to give the same answer. Visibility of project costs across all portfolios. One thing we didn't have, because we had a whole series of projects and a whole series of portfolios, managed through a whole series of individual project team sites. So we really didn't have a lot of clue as to the cost across all projects and all portfolios. So we built that. Consolidated data. This is so, if you've got that single source of truth, this becomes so easy. You know, you've got your reporting across that single source of truth, and then you can use BI and other tools to actually help you roll it out and generate new reports, generate ad hoc reports, generate separate visualizations, do anything you like. Again, that mechanism for tracking benefits realization. I always look at this as the holy grail of project management. I don't know anyone that does this particularly well. I think every organization struggles with it. But at least there's a mechanism to track it. At least we've got an understanding of what the benefits people are trying to claim are and when they think they're going to get them. Insights into resource allocation. This is something we struggle with. I'm sure a lot of organisations do. Have we got the right people working on the right projects? Have we got enough of the right people? And even in some of the conversations I've had this week and some of the presentations people have done, you start looking at this as the path of, if I have this portfolio of projects and I do an analysis, and I'm 5 BA short. Well, maybe I can use Delve to go and find 5 BAs in the organisation. And if Delve can't find me 5 BAs in the organisation, maybe when LinkedIn gets fully integrated into all this, maybe you can go to LinkedIn and give me 5 BAs in Melbourne that are available with utilities experience. That's the power of where I can see these things going. Not just to identify resources that you know of, but resources that you don't know about that can potentially help you drive your project forward. Real-time project status and health indicators. Really, really nice for us. Where is the portfolio at, both at a project level and at a rolled-up level? What projects are going well? What projects aren't? Where do we actually need to focus our attention? Because as a PMO, we're across the whole lot, not just an individual project. Which projects demand our attention? Which projects need us to do something with them? And we simplified that portfolio reporting. I used to do this. It used to take me 2 days to put together a consolidated portfolio report. Now it's 2 hours, if that. All right, from the dark ages. Why did we go the online path? Cloud-based was really important to us. Our organisational direction is we will use the cloud in preference to anything else. So cloud-based technology, beautiful. The spectrum of capabilities, and particularly there's a road, Microsoft published it, but there is a roadmap. You can go and find out what else they're planning to do in this area, and you can see things that are coming that can potentially benefit your organisation. But it was the ability to actually manage projects and the portfolio within one place and in a single location. You know, having your metadata and your project team site in the same place. Sounds simple. We used to have 80 different team sites in 80 different locations. Now they're all in one spot. Now you can pull them all together to report against them. The functionality upgrades have become available. This is such a great capability. You know, when you come and log in one day and it just says, do you want to use this functionality, just tick this box. You're not waiting for version upgrades. You're not waiting to do a major change. It's just tick the box, move on. It's part of a 365 subscription. Just tick the box. I think there was a demonstration yesterday of how to roll it out. In fact, I think Rob did it. How to roll it out. Really simple. And that automatic link, that ODBC connection, straight through to Power BI. So you can get your data and you can report against it and you can generate your visualizations. That's why we went down the path. Everyone else is going to have a different view. Some of that may be important to you. Some of it may not be. But that's why we went down the path. All right. PPM in 3 months. This is what we did. And to give you some context around it, we spent less than $100,000 Australian dollars to roll it out. $70,000 US at the moment, I believe, somewhere around there. So in April 2014, we did a POC. That consisted of me just getting a tenant set up. I did some very, very simple basic configuration in it. And then one day the CIO just happened to wander past my desk, look over and see it on the screen and go, what's that? This was a Wednesday afternoon. It's a project online. Cool, by Monday morning I want a business case. So it went from a proof of concept, you wait, what does this do, to a real product in 3 months, in a couple of days. We got approval to roll it out. We selected our partner. If you take nothing else from this address, please, if you were going to go down this path, find a partner. Don't try and do it yourself. Find yourself a partner. Because the power of the partner is not only in the capabilities that they bring and the standard, you know, most of them will have a standard product offering in this area. It's the questions they ask. It's them constantly asking you why. You know, you can give them your list of requirements and they'll work through it. Why do you want that? What value does that add? It's a really important thing that they do. They actually, in effect, they spend a lot of time saving you from yourself. Because you'll want to implement something. The last thing you want to do in this is entrench bad practice, and that's what your partner can help you avoid. It might look like good practice to you. The reality is it's probably bad practice, and they can point you down that track, and they go, you know what, we've rolled this out for other guys, and it didn't work, or it didn't play. They can save you from yourself. There you go. So August 2014, we did the first rollout, and then early in November 2014 was the second, early 2015 was the third. It doesn't take long to stand these things up and roll them out, all right? The better you understand what you want, the better information you can give to your partner, the better and the quicker they can deploy it. B but you don't need years to set this stuff up, and you don't need massive budgets to set this up. Having said that, the one budget part of your budget that you'll probably get wrong, because everyone I know that's done it gets this wrong, you will get the number of licenses you need wrong. All right? We started with 250. 50 project life, 50 project manager licenses, 50, what are they? Essentials now, aren't they?
Team members?
Project Light, what do they call them now?
Yeah, for team members, Project Light, yeah.
50 project manager licenses, 200 project Light. It's now at 150 project managers and 650 project Light users. You will get it wrong. Don't feel bad, everyone does. As you roll it out, as more people see what it can do, as more people understand what it can do, more people will want to use it. You'll start finding the people use it for things you would not even contemplate you could use it for. Because they think their way through it and they look at it and they go, I could use that to do this. So think your way through it. The other thing to take away, the change management to do this is significant. You know, if you haven't had a tool like this before, the change management is huge. You're asking people to change the way they've always done things. A lot of people will jump all over it. We had one guy that worked for us, he was a contractor, he was all over it. Hold on, you guys are going to take a product, a new technology, and you're going to teach me how to use it, and then I can sell that back into the marketplace for my next contract. Cool, I'm all over it. Other guys, not so keen. The change management is huge. If you're taking project managers that are actually used to that art view of the world and telling them that it's now a science, you're going to struggle. You've got to take them on the journey. Really helps if you've got a strong executive sponsor when you can turn around and say, now I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You will now do it this way. This is how we do things now. Don't try and boil the ocean, all right? Start simple, build your roadmap, think your way through it. Think about what to do next and what makes sense. You know, do your base rollout, what's the next step? Do that, what's the next step? Do that, what's the next step? What adds value to our organisation? What's the best use of our money? How do we make sure we can deliver more strategic value through doing this better? We've got to understand that, because you've got to have a reason for doing it. You've got to understand it. The better you understand your methodologies at the outset, the easier this is. If you can take existing processes to your partner and say, implement this, your life is so much easier. And if you've got a really good partner, they'll help you standardize some things. If you've got a couple of process things, a couple of methodology or workflows that look the same, they may be 5% different, they'll work with you to make it the same. Sorry, we've got a question.
Yes, I do have a question. You mentioned on the last slide that you have three instances.
Yep.
Can you elaborate on the purpose of having three as compared to one?
Yep. So we talked about it earlier, but it's for three very different things. One's for the internal IT projects with an IT component. One is for our energy services group who sell energy solutions into the market. The third one is for our generators who wanted to keep track of carbon reduction initiatives. So they're all slightly different. If you looked at the three instances, the corporate one and the energy services one are similar. Energy services obviously have the sales component that the IT projects don't. The carbon reduction one is radically different.
Do you have people that need to participate in multiple instances, or are your users pretty much accessing one instance and one instance only?
From a user perspective, most of them access one instance.
Okay.
You'll get guys like me who sit across all three of them. But yeah, for the most part, at a user level, at a business user level, they generally use one instance.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Where do we get to? Standardize? Yep. You can do agile in this. If you've got an organization that's going down the agile path, you can do it. But you need to think your way through it. We're a Jira shop for our agile delivery. But there's more to delivery of a project that has an agile component than just the agile component. There's more to it than just the sprints.
The sprints are how you deliver the product. But there's all the change management activities. There's all the overriding project management activities. We trap all of them in Project Online. And the sprints we just tend to have as a start date, end date. And all we're asking off the PMs, what's the percentage complete and what's happening with your backlog? If you say you're going to do 20 things, did you do 20? Or did you say you can do 20, you've done 10 and the backlog's increased? Because don't forget with Agile, the one thing you're going to flex is your scope. So you've got to understand if you're delivering the scope that you said you would. So while it's not sold as Agile, there are plenty of Agile support, you can do it if you want to. And please, as we said, build that roadmap. Don't automate everything at once. Automate what makes sense and then build on it. So our initial workflows took you through the basic project phases. What we've done since then, we have two large suppliers that we use. All of the work management with those two suppliers is now automated. So from the generation of the work order through to their response and then the subsequent approvals, that's all automated. We're going back now to actually automate the approvals of projects. As they go through governance forums, we're automating that approval as well. You don't have to do everything at once. In fact, you're probably better off if you don't. Because as you work through it, you'll start going, you know what, I was going to automate that next, and it probably doesn't make sense. But at least have your roadmap. And at least understand what Microsoft's roadmap is as well. So don't build something if Microsoft are about to deliver it. But talk to your partners too, because most of them have some pretty funky add-ons that you can use if you want to. And tips for young players, always important. We've touched on this one, use a partner. Please use a partner. I'm not here representing partners, I'm not here representing Microsoft, but please use a partner. It's just going to make your life so much easier. Yes, you can do it yourself, but man, you better be good at this if you think you're going to do it yourself. There's a lot of things you need to understand. There's a lot of things you need to be able to do. Hire a partner and let them do it for you. Having said that, the reverse of that, please make sure you've got some internal skills. You don't want to go to your partner every time you need to add a new custom field and put it on a display page. All right? It's a waste of your money, and to be blunt, it's probably a waste of your partner's time as well. It's not the smartest thing to do. Make sure you've got the skills that you can do that yourself. It's SharePoint. It's not that hard, but make sure you can do that yourself. Make sure you can do that simple task yourself. Get someone that understands BI. And then just go crazy. Do your reporting, do your visualizations, work your way through it. What funky little things do you want to be able to report that your management want and that your management will use? One thing that gets overlooked a little bit, I think, is we talk about resource management. You've all talked about resource management. And everyone only ever thinks of resources as people. One of the biggest problems we've had is the management of environments. Like, you know, development landscapes, test landscapes, with ultimately everything rolling into one production landscape. Those environments can be resources. And you can use them the same way you would use a human resource. You can book that resource. You can book that environment. We have one performance test environment. That's the inhibitor to a lot of things getting to production, is that one performance test environment. But you can treat it as a resource and you can book it like any other resource. And you can get a view as to the demand for that resource and how people are going to use that resource. And you can start going back to projects and go, hey guys, you know what? The project that's using the PT environment is pushing out. What are you going to do about it? Don't just assume that people are the only resource you can manage. There's a lot of things you can do that if you think your way through, think a little bit laterally, you can use Project Online to do. Goes without saying, the next one I would hope, but I don't know, some people lose track of it. Make sure you've got an executive supporting what you want to do. Your life will be easier. All right. Yes, you can do a little bit of skunk works, things like I did. But once the CIO jumped on board, life got a lot easier. that whole conversation changes, and you can start driving some things pretty simply. I've talked about this, but it's important. There's the URL. Microsoft have a roadmap. Please jump on it. Interestingly enough, there's stuff on the roadmap, which is good, but there was things that got talked about in some of the earlier presentations on project, particularly around the analytics and the machine learning. That's just awesome. All right? Really get you to elevate your thinking around what you're going to use this product to do and what it's going to do for you. You know, one of the things we were talking about earlier was using this tool, using these analytics to go, you know what, you've set up this new project and it looks like five other projects that you've done and all five of them struggled. You need to think hard about how you're going to do this project. What are you going to do differently with this project that you've done with the ones in the past? That's where I see things going. You know, that you're moving away from just managing projects to identifying where you need to do things better, using the technology to help you drive it down that path. And then Office 365 Planner and Wunderlist, planners out there. You know, if you want a simple task management Kanban board tool, we've started using it, Planner's cool. Will it? I'm not sure what the integration plan is with Project Online, but it's pretty cool. And then Wunderlist for that task management component, that will happen. You can make your life so much easier. You can do timesheets on mobiles now, if you should so choose. I think I've pretty much done. Let me check. I hit the next slide. Hey, we are done. Before I sign off, seriously, any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. Hey.
Yeah, hi. I'm just curious to know if you can, from your online instance, can you talk to legacy systems and get the data both ways?
Sorry, what sort of systems do you want to talk to?
Legacy systems like SAP or on-premise kind of budget, financial.
You certainly can. I'm sure Rob's got a solution for it automatically.
Okay.
My experience, particularly with things like SAP, has been you tend to use an ETL process. You know, you've got to do some sort of extract from SAP and then some sort of load into Project Online. It doesn't, and I'll probably get shot for this, but it doesn't do that automatically. One thing we've talked about, because we've looked at this, and one thing we've talked about a lot of times is, while Project Online is your project management system of record, it shouldn't be your financial system of record. That should be SAP. So our advice generally is, trust what's in SAP, don't necessarily trust what's in online, because we haven't automated that process. If we automate that process, at points in time, they will align, but they won't necessarily always align. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Cool.
Hi there. My question has to do with project sites for project teams. I haven't used Project Server Online, but Project Server a few years ago could self-provision project sites. It was actually a click of a button in the ribbon. And so we had a lot of competing project sites where we had a SharePoint intranet site, where we used team sites, but then people were provisioning these project sites through Project Server, so we had these duplicate sites. So my question, now with the advent of 365 groups that auto-provision team sites, I'm worried about how you keep control of that. So my question is, what guidelines do you give for a project team who's going to create a site? Do they do it through 365 groups, or do they do it through Project Server Online or SharePoint intranet team sites?
One of the great things about online, you can configure how you want it to do it, but the way we've set it up and the standard way you set it up is you say, every time someone creates a project, they get a project site based on the template that you nominate. And they're linked. The project and the project site are linked. So if someone wanted to go
off... You do it through Project Server Online.
You do it through online. Okay. The way you set it up, it happens automatically. When you create the project, it creates the team site. So if someone wanted to go off and create their own team site, look, they could. I'm not sure why they'd want to. It does it automatically. So that's the easiest way to keep control of it. Because what we do, and everyone can do it, You define the, as a PMO, we define the template. Every project site looks the same. There is scope for them to play with it, but you can lock that down as well if you want to.
Just to follow up, do you have Office 365 groups that are also created for your project teams?
If I can chime in, so I would recommend just to do what the Project Online offers to do. Today we are reliant on SharePoint Online, and Project Online is built on Office 365. That's the platform. And we're definitely looking into groups as something, you know, we could explore for the future.
Hi, just one comment to that. There are some issues related to this project sites. For example, when you rename a project in Project Online, then the link to project site stops working. Then you need to manually fix it. So there are some minor issues regarding this link.
I'm not aware of this issue, but we can take it offline. I'm not sure if this is something that's
My
common.
Question was not about that.
Sure.
You mentioned the challenge with change management, and I think we also face the same challenge. And, of course, executive support is kind of obvious thing to help. What else did you use? How did you work with project managers? Because they already use project standard. They already use project site like SharePoint sites. So it's not too much in the Project Online for them. It's mostly for portfolio, the value that we create. So how did you manage to ensure that all of them use Project Online?
It was pretty simple, actually. One of the things we looked at when we rolled this out, the initial view we had was what we would do is create new projects in Project Online and let old projects die in the system in which they originated. And within about a week decided that was lunacy, because the one thing we didn't get is the consolidated reporting. So we just sat down and just moved every active project into Project Online so that we had that single source. Once you get that, you get the standards that go with it. And so the things that we wanted to drive around the standardisation of status reporting, the standardisation of status determination, that was in there. But there's a lot of work with a lot of PMs around, but things are different. You know, from a project schedule point of view, yeah, download it, same, but different. But the way they operate was different. And that's what I say, that's that people change management effort where if you're going to implement your processes exactly as they stood before, it's going to be simpler. But you're still asking people to do things different ways. You know, the hardest one for us to get people to do was to actually publish their plan back to Project Online. Because they'd copy it down, they'd update it, but they wouldn't send it back. And then you get this discrepancy in their view of the project to yours. But you've got to take them on the journey. And in fact, I'm sure Keith, who's up next, will tell, because I know he's been spending a lot of time on it, we'll take you through that journey far better than I can.
And that's a great segue because we want to start the Stryker story, so thanks for that. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Mic on. All right. So Stryker experience. They brought me in to give you a little bit of a background and how my implementation is already gone. Not as much on the coaching side with my presentation. It's more I'm in the thick of things right now. We've got a fairly large implementation, a lot of integrations going on, a lot of people using a lot of the complex areas. So they just threw me up here, CNC, how I'm actually experiencing the system. So I'm from Stryker. Everyone heard of Stryker? At least most of you, hopefully. Maybe not. If you haven't heard of us, it's good. You're not in the hospital. Stryker at a glance. Fortune 287, right? So we're a fairly large company, $9.9 billion in sales, 27,000 people. So this is where I start getting into the complexity factor of our PPM system here, 27,000 people, and 36 straight years of growth. So I haven't had a bad year in 36 years. So we're doing pretty good. We're in 100 markets currently. This is where I get into the complexity factor a little bit again. We have 44 manufacturing plants, and in the last year, this went up by 6 by itself, and over 5,000 patents, or right at 5,000 patents. There we go. So the complexity part for our implementation is, one, we're a pretty large company and we're growing rapidly. The other complexity is we're an extremely decentralized company. We have a very large product portfolio. So we're in the orthopedics market, so if you need a hip or a knee, we got divisions that make those implants. We're getting pretty heavy into the robotics side, so robotic surgery. I personally come from the medical and surgical equipment part of the company before I joined IT, so power tools, so these are the drills and tool bits that actually do the surgery, the navigation systems to guide the robots, patient care, which is the beds, and then we start getting to inside the body a little bit, reconstruction of the face, pulling strokes, preventing strokes in the bloodstream, and all this equipment. So really, the major reason that we've gone to this project online is because of this complexity. Our scale, we're growing so fast, we need something easily accessible by everyone, but also because of our decentralized nature, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, every one of these products was almost siloed. They were all developed and managed by their own product team in their own division in their own location. Well, this is the brave new future, right? So now, some of the projects we're going to and why we need this PPM system is you need a hip surgery, right? So we have a division that makes the hip. We're going to use a robot to do the surgery. We need our computer-assisted surgery, which is our navigation unit, which guides that robot while it's doing the surgery on you. It's holding a drill that we make, and it's using our drill bit, and you're laying on our bed. So it's the entire portfolio. We need all of these items now to collaborate and work together. So not only are we collaborating across all of these different products, it's locations. The hip is New Jersey. The robot, Florida. The tool, Michigan. The navigation unit is Germany. The tool bits, Ireland. So that was the major push to bring us onto a single PPM system and an online solution that all of these teams could come together and collaborate in a single location on a single, basically, program, very large program. So the background, so this is where Stryker was coming from. It's because of our extremely decentralized nature, we're coming from essentially everywhere. When I go through our roadmap a little bit, we did have a little bit of an enterprise, a PPM solution. About 3 or 4 divisions were using it. So for a scale, we've got about 12 divisions. So even that, only a quarter of the company was an on-prem PPM solution. Several divisions were using various project servers, either 07 or 10. Honestly, part of this talks about the maturity and the roadmap, how we got there. Some of them were still using Excel, honestly, for project management and rolling up their financials and how they were managing resources. Some of them used different versions of SharePoint as just different metadata aggregators. And down at the bottom, over the last couple years, we've had a couple divisions started to trial the project online, and that kind of led to our eventual adoption and choice of using Project Online for our entire company. So all in all, we're going to be going from, or we're in the midst of it, I'm about halfway through it right now, shutting down all of these on-prem or legacy systems. Some of them are already shut down. Even on the Project Online, we kind of did that in a decentralized manner to start. One division, while we were on an enterprise system, which was Planisware, a single division went rogue and kind of got Project Online. So that's how decentralized we were. Ended up being the right choice, so the rest of us started adopting. So right now we've got at least 5 instances of Project Online that I'm actively shutting down right now. Our end state, which is December of this year already, is it's going to be 1,000 users, 1,000 projects, 1 instance. And everything on the left side goes away. So what were the major objectives when Stryker kind of entered into trying to get an enterprise PPM tool? The first one is we wanted an enterprise PPM tool. Seeing all those different on-prem or legacy systems was no way to manage business. Even though we're going to keep our decentralized nature as a company, we needed the collaboration across the divisions to perform these higher complexity projects. Next major objective, and this we kind of backed into, is that we needed a global project management methodology. So we're going to an enterprise PPM system. We're all in a single instance. We don't have an enterprise PMO. So that's a major complexity and struggle that I've dealt with for a long time. We've actually got a consortium of willing participants right now, as each division's PMO came together and said, this is lunacy, we need a common system, let's get a system. So we started to deploy the system, didn't have any framework, so they had to go back and develop the business processes to support the tool, kind of around and around. So our technology is outpacing our processes right now. So that's always a struggle with what we're going with. Next part is just the growth in project management maturity. So I came from one division, now I'm seeing it from the enterprise. Is the PPM tool here, Project Online, can do all of these different areas. Portfolio, demand, business intelligence, collaboration, schedule, time reporting. Is some of our divisions, I would say out of a base five, like they're a 5 out of 5 on managing their schedules and milestones, and don't do any project financials. Other ones, 100% project financials. Why would you put a resource in your project plan? So I'd say every division is using, across all the divisions, we're using all these tools, but our maturity by division and as a whole combined is all over the place. So the goal now is, now that we're getting a common enterprise, is that we can start bringing the entire organization up to at least the same level and start utilizing all these different areas with our maturity growth. And the biggest one, it's been hit on, it's a pretty big thing here at the conference, is it's all about business intelligence. So we couldn't do any business intelligence. We're coming from 10 different legacy systems that some of them are 10, or some of them aren't even a system, they're just Excel sheets, right? So as part of this implementation, a side part is we're doing Project Online, going all in on the data lake. I'm set up a data lake, and we're taking weekly snapshots of our history. We're going all in on Power BI, getting 1,000 Power BI licenses, building all the reports. And then because we're also doing the data lake, is right now Stryker is also all in on a single ERP system, single PLM system, project intake, and using that data lake to leverage it. So Power BI will be our one-stop shop for reporting. The lake will aggregate or pull together all this data. I'm the first one going into the lake. And then we've got the PPM system to actually help us collaborate and manage our projects and optimize those portfolios. So how did we get to PPM? Well, there was a lot of things went into this. This was multiple years on how we ended up with Microsoft Project Online. One of the biggest ones, the white papers. So we used the CEB. I know Forrester's been talked about a little bit. So if you go in there, it's got all the different categories, PPM tools, and how you scored it. This played quite a bit of a role with us, as we had kind of a bad taste for our previous system based on usability. So that was actually going into this, that was pretty much our number one objective, was to improve usability. And so using those white papers helped us really lock in on a couple of tools to go after and helped us point us towards the Microsoft PPM road. We did demos. We chose four different platforms, and the HK Min did a full demo in front of our entire steering committee, which is the head of the PMO, R&D PMO, for every division in our company. A big player in it really was secondary tool usage, is even though we had all these different systems, pretty much everyone has Project Desktop. It might have been 07 or 03 or 10 or whatever, but everyone already knows how to do the actual schedule management in projects. So if you're doing a full PPM solution, there's much less of a curve. I mean, we might have to learn how to do enterprise resourcing and portfolio optimization, but to actually teach the users how to do a schedule in the tool, they already pretty much know how to do that. So the adaptability there was pretty big. We kind of backed into this a little bit too with the trial divisions, both local and enterprise. So this is where I said the one kind of rogue division just said, you know, our on-prem solution's dumb. We're out in California, you know, we're in technology. Let's try this. So they did a single instance, maybe only 40 PMs. Loved it. So when we started to take the look of going to the next iteration of our on-prem PPM tool, we're like, maybe we should look around a little bit. This is where I kind of came into the discussion quite a bit, is to do trial division for the enterprise. So we put together this CER. We decided to go to this full enterprise system, but it was going to take a year to start just because of our own processes, right? It's take a year to start. My division, that wasn't good enough. We needed to go faster. So that's where we rolled out with some of the basic enterprise requirements. I rolled out my division's PPM solution, which so another instance, so bad practice, right? We created another instance, but tried to align it with what our goal was for the enterprise methodology, the project management methodology. And I rolled that out last year, and we had about, right now, about 400 projects, 400 users. But to also speak to Bill's earlier point, as our scope was 100 people, because that's what we had in the legacy system. And within 4 months, I was over 300. And now we're at 400 users, so the adaptability there has been great. At the same time, when I was doing the trial division, my division is Stryker went all in on Office 365. So that kind of made it a lot easier, as everything's in the cloud, everything's together. And actually, from my part of it, to actually implement PPM was much simpler. I just said, grant a license, provision an environment, and boom, we were there. It was started. And another key decision was all our past experience with our other legacy systems or not having a legacy system. It really was, for us, usability was the number one driving factor. And now that we're getting a centralized tool, now it's going to be all about growth and maturity across all those different areas. And oh yeah, you can also stop me too during the middle of it and ask questions, or I think I only got a couple left. So our life cycle, so I've kind of spoken to my journey a little bit, but this really truly was our journey. And the journey really is two parts. It's the process, our business processes, and the technology. And the first thing that, you know, jumps out to me even when I was putting this together is we developed the processes after we started doing the technology. And that's been a major pain point basically this entire journey, is that the technology's there and it's ready and it can do all of these things. I mean, it's perfectly aligned to the PMBOK, essentially. I mean, at the core of Project Online, it is the PMBOK. And everything that I have struggles with the tool, but everything I struggle with is because our processes aren't aligned or not standardized. And that's, you know, that's an R issue. That's our growth as an organization around business practices. And luckily, the tool allows us a decent amount of flexibility that it will accommodate some of the dumb stuff that we're doing, right? That's where having the partners is a big thing, is they hopefully push back and tell you no, and we're trying to do some of these things that don't make sense. But at the end of the day, we ultimately had to do quite a few of these things just because we can't change our processes fast enough, or we can't grow them fast enough. So hopefully the technology will lead us down that route. But I've talked to quite a few of these different areas, but the actual, I mean, timeline was, is, you know, 2011 and previous, we had a bunch of different legacy systems. 2012 was when we got our first on-prem cross-divisional tool, but even that was only three or four divisions. 2013, we started getting our first use of enterprise reporting on projects. For us, that was SQL 2008 hosted on a SharePoint, pointed at our on-prem system. And even the projects that weren't in the tool, they would manage their projects locally however they did, and they just had to put in their metadata in the system so we could get our enterprise reporting. As soon as we did that, we started to get these enterprise reporting, realized everyone's doing everything different. We need some common practices. So that's where a steering committee was formed of all the different heads of PMO to say, what can we standardize to? What can we agree to try and make an enterprise system bearable, essentially? 2014, that's when we started getting into this vendor selection, chose project as our tool, but we also publicized our own internal standards of, these are the things that, this is how we're going to do portfolio management and resource management. And even that, very high level, not detailed. Just, this is the rough framework we can agree to try and live in the same environment. So 2015 is when I implemented my division, the 400 users. That's when we finally got our funding approval for our entire enterprise system. And as soon as we started giving the detailed requirements to build the system, we already determined that our first set of PPM standards weren't good enough, not detailed enough, or even not standard enough. So that led to a bunch of business process improvements and standardization to help support this tool. So this year, it's all about implementation. We've been on this long journey. We're finally getting our enterprise tool. So our single production instance is live right now. First division launched over a month ago. Second one, actually, this has been a crazy week for me. I'm launching it this week. So WebEx in between all these different areas. But we've already got the two other instances with two other divisions already on this tool as well. So, but by Christmas of this year, we've actually got most everything designed. It's all tested. And really, between now and next year, is just launching a division, like every 2 weeks. Go in and train them. This is what you're going to do in the system. All right, you're live. Put your portfolio in there. So that gets us through 2016. On the process side, since we've got this Office 365 integration, we're all in on PPM. This is where we decided we're going all in on business intelligence. So this is where we determined that we're going to use the data lake. A different area of Stryker was going all in on the data lake, so we said, hey, we're going to use it, pumping all our data into it, and then going all in on the Power BI as the tool. And already, we're not even fully launched yet. 2017, I've already got a funded CER for next year to do the next version. It's all about that maturity growth. So really, the last 2 or 3 years is just getting a tool and getting standardized enough so we can get a common tool. Now we have the tool, we're all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with it? And so 2.0 is budgeted, and we're looking at a bunch of different things. It's one, to grow in maturity to use the tools that are already native to the application. Two, to hopefully utilize some of the roadmap features that are coming out in projects in the next year. So it looks like some of the portfolio stuff's getting a lot more advanced. So hopefully we can utilize that. And then a third key part, and actually we're meeting with Microsoft offsite in 2 weeks, is adjacencies. Now we have this great tool. What can it talk with? What can we integrate with? Since we're getting a single PLM system and a single ERP system and we have the lake, how can we start tying all this together? So this is, we've gone all in. We got this great tool from the time we decide we're going to do a project to do this new product to the day we launch it on the market. How do we manage the ideas up front? How do we tie it in with the financial system? And how do we deal with the quality and the improvements once it's already out in the field and manage that? So those are all areas that we've already budgeted for. We're meeting with them in the next week or two. As soon as we're done deploying the last division, we're going to start rolling right into improving what we already have. I think I only got two more. So my methodology was really about getting all the businesses to tie in. So you can see it's kind of a very decentralized, a lot of moving parts. So this is everyone that I've had to deal with, or all my stakeholders, to be able to launch this tool. And they really are, it's top to bottom, detail, really low, but really strategic. They're looking out 3 years. They're the ones that came together to say, we should have an enterprise tool. You know, back when it wasn't a cool thing to have a single enterprise tool at Stryker. So that's where our steering committee came together. We've got a network where just everyone who kind of works in a PMO across the company is engaged, and I'm giving monthly updates and getting feedback from them. We have divisional connect sites, which are, I don't know if everyone knows what a connect site, but it's built on SharePoint. It's kind of like a LinkedIn type interface. So we do some talks back and forth on what's coming in the tool. Having the standards and trying to maintain, live to those standards while we're building the tool, but also we'll revise the standards when we realize the standards weren't up to snuff in different areas. Probably the keyest part, the most input we get on this project is from our work stream committee, which is really the most, say, dominant project manager in each division's PMO, because they're the ones that are giving us the requirements to build the tool. So we've got the consortium of 10 divisions directors giving us our strategic vision and goals, and then we've got all of their reporting people, just so the 10 division project managers telling us and giving us the requirements, and down in the nitty-gritty details is, I need this ECF, I need this product flow. And us working together, too, is we're coming into a lot of things where we're fighting on and trying to standardize, and then we're pushing them back up to the steering committee and pushing it back into the standards. So this is actually my last slide, so we're getting close on time already. So we've pretty much hit on everything. So this is just stuff that I've seen. It is super easy to use. I mean, I think it's the easiest product since everyone was already using Microsoft Project Desktop. switching over, at least on that standpoint, it's very easy to use. The user adoption, like we said, is right now I'm experiencing a 4-to-1 factor, right? Is whatever the division says, we're going to have this many users within a year, I'll have 4 times that many. The integration of Office 365 has been seamless. There's nothing for me to do from launching this platform. It's just integrated. And then we're working on the integration with adjacencies. And the ease of access, that was a big thing, all our on-prem systems, different passwords, you have to VPN in, this is all in the cloud, single password, single access, it's great. Don't expect, so this is more cloud stuff, and you know, some of my stuff's pretty basic, because I've been in IT for 4 months now. So I actually launched the first division, I was in the PMO on the business side, and then we decided to get IT involved, and then who knows the system? Oh, you do, so you're in IT. And you're going to launch the ERP system or the PPM system. So this stuff I see is you can't change everything in the back end like you can on server, but really it's smart. You know, it's keeping us from hurting ourselves, really, as even we've tried to do some dumb stuff and we don't have access to it. And it makes sense why we don't have access to it. The full depth capabilities, so this isn't really a knock on PPM tools, and I get why Microsoft does this, is it's designed, how I understand it, is they design something for how 80% of the user base is going to use it. But we're all different. You can see where we're all over in the maturity roadmap, too. So there's certain areas where the resource management's great, having a common resource pool, utilizing it, getting the reporting on the resourcing is great. But we'd like a little more control on approvals, say, of them. And, you know, so it doesn't do that quite great yet. The resource engagements came out, it works. I wish it was a little better, but it still does it, and it's there. Out of the box reporting, there's nothing really native to the system. There's a couple resource reports, but you pretty much, that's why we kind of went with Power BI, is to build all your reporting to point to this system. In our approach, you need to have some good, strong project management processes. We made all of this a lot easier if we had stronger practices, more centralized practices. Sticking away from the customization, we've stayed away. It's all configured out of the box right now. The farthest we've gone is we're using custom templates in our project sites, but it really is just configuration out of the box is what we're doing. Simpler is better, and the growth in stages, the other ones have hit it, is we've already kind of gone too big in a single time, but we kind of had to because we had some enterprise reporting. And we needed a one-day switch and say, all right, we're an enterprise reporting on this new system. I mean, ideally, it would have been implement a very simple system for everybody and then start growing into it and doing those 90 or 100-day implementations. So we didn't follow that practice. It was a little painful because of it. But So that's it for me. I know. Any questions on Stryker? Yep. So long question, but summarize it as, you know, it's mainly around permissions in the centralized versus decentralized and everyone wanting that. So really on our standpoint, we've gone fully centralized on the resource pool. It's one Stryker resource pool because we're getting so collaborative across divisions. Because I don't want you to see my data or my project, but I want to use your resource, right? So that's completely standardized, one resource pool. In the tool, The RBS, the resource breakdown structure, isn't how I was used to it. It was it's mainly a permission breakdown structure based on the organization. So on that front, we've really gone into project permissions. As you can see the projects based on your part of the organization. So one division can see all their projects, and another division can see all their projects. But also to be able to open those projects, you need to be a member of that team, right? So to be inside the actual file is everyone can see the resources, everyone in your division knows the project exists, and your team can get in the nitty-gritty details and access the site and access the schedule and all that stuff. Yep. Next question, or am I getting cut off?
Yeah, maybe we can switch.
We'll have more questions at the end, maybe.
Yeah, we'll take more questions just in a minute.
So Rob Hirschman with Fragility, my implementation partner. We've done upwards of 200 of these deployments, been working with Stryker for the past 2.5 years. Part of the skunk work was our fault. Sorry about that, Keith, but here we are today on stage talking about it. Just from a lessons learned perspective, I know we're kind of short on time. When you're thinking about going down the road of implementing PPM, I think you want to follow the guidance that Bill provided. What's the business problem you're trying to solve? Think about it. We tend to break PPM up into work streams or application capabilities. Is the business problem project intake? Is it demand management? Is it portfolio management? These are really the 9 core areas of PPM you can start to break out and determine what's the business problem, how do you want to address it, and how do you prioritize that to build a really good roadmap for PPM. So you can start breaking PPM down into components and start thinking about what's important to the business and build your roadmap forward. Understanding, and I think you heard it from both these guys, it's really all about managing change. The technology part here is frankly the easy part. And with any implementation of any technology, there's really the people side, the process side, and the technology. So what we find is, on the people side, it's all about driving the change, getting people to adopt new behaviors, changing the way they're doing business, because Stryker and APL, they're all doing things in a different way because PPM is important, and they're driving new procedures and processes. The process side has to be aligned with the people as well. So how are you going to implement that change across your enterprise? Whether you're starting in one group, you're looking at multiple groups, they have different processes. How do you get to a point where you've got kind of that 80% commonality in PPM, and then you allow each group to be unique or customize their part of the tool? So the process side is all about implementing it. And then the technology, which is all about Project Online, is about automation. Now, how do I automate that? And these three pieces, in successful PPM organizations, they really all come together. You can't think about one without thinking about the other ones. So, you know, our recommendation is really, you know, thinking about it, especially if you're going multi-business unit, think about the 80% solution that's going to meet the majority of the business needs, because scheduling is scheduling, resource management is resource management, reporting is reporting, but then go to each business and take what's unique to them and give them their own flavor within the same application. If you start spinning up multiple instances, it's a lot harder to manage, and it's very hard to get an enterprise view of everything going on. There's very little commonality between those things. So I would say the recommendation, if you walk away with anything, think enterprise, think a single instance if possible. But if the businesses really are that different, that's a good reason to go to multiple instances. If you never need to have touch points, then that's a good reason to do it. I think that's the last one.
So I think we have a couple of minutes. This is another opportunity to get a few more questions. We have one question coming there. And just before you leave this room, I'd really like to help you to rank our session. I hope that you were able to learn some beneficial and valuable lessons from our partner and to customers. So I'll repeat the OK, we can hear you.
So I was just curious, you guys mentioned several tools for several different divisions or groups of people. What strategies did you use to train and onboard or increase adoption of these tools? And what about strategies for development as Microsoft continues to integrate and add Planner, as you mentioned, to the project? I could see that being a possibility.
Yes, yeah, so far, I mean, one, we've already changed our training and implementation from what we've learned from our smaller divisions. So our first one is, we just did a single, like for a project manager, it was a 1.5-day training provided by a partner on everything. It's how to use project, how to use the tool, and a decent amount of how to use our, how it integrates with our practices. One thing we found out is we thought we were pretty mature, like having everyone coming from Microsoft Project, like, well, everyone knows how to use Microsoft Project. Really getting into it, we found out that, yeah, everyone's been using it for 10 years, poorly. And so we've kind of changed it going forward in that before we actually did our actual implementation, quite a few of our divisions are doing just straight up Microsoft Project desktop training. Get the foundation, get the fundamentals right. Then we start to educate them on how this integrates with our practices. We're doing a lot of marketing up front of how the system integrates with our tool and the expectations from that. And then finally, we still have the full 1.5-day training of this is how the system operates, this is how it works with our tools, and actually as part of the class there's enough time that they can actually migrate and upload their actual current, at least one of their projects, into the current system right in the class. Ongoing, we've built some, so we've got a learning system, so we've built some online modules, so taking this day, in, or day and a half class and condensing it down to like a 1 hour, just guided PowerPoint with audio. But you kind of found a hole in all this is don't quite have a solid plan together for what's coming down the pipeline. That's hopefully like while we're meeting with them going forward and starting this 2.0 is to see what's coming and how are we going to support training and growth going forward.
Just one thing to bear in mind, because a lot of people lose sight of this, is training's good. You know, people learn how to use it, that's good. But you've got to have that post-implementation support as well. People have to know where to go when they have problems, because they will. And so, yes, you can train them. I think what's the stats, that they retain about 30% of what you teach them. You've got to be able to support them once they've gone live. They've got to know, whether it's as simple as ring me, whether it's simple as email this address, they've still got to know who to go to. Don't lose sight of that, because until you actually put them in the hot seat and make them use it, you probably don't know most of what they're going to struggle with. So you've got to have a plan, and you've got to have people dedicated to support people once they go live. Otherwise, standard change management, they will struggle.
I want to respect your time because our time is up. So you're welcome to approach us with questions or swing by our booth. We'd be more than happy. I want to thank again Bill, Keith, and Rob. And thank you for spending the time with us. And have a great rest of the day.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys.